A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated as the children come forward for the children's message. To your children praying, "Lord, lend me your spirit in this place. Good morning. It is great to see all of you here. I invited the sixth graders up because today they got new Bibles. And the sixth graders, show your new Bibles. They look really good, don't they? And sharp, they haven't even been opened. And I want to show you the Bible that I got when I graduated from high school. What does it look like? Old, yeah, that'd be good. And is it falling apart? Yeah, that's your goal with your Bible. Your Bible should end up to be falling apart, because if your Bible's falling apart, you probably aren't. We're supposed to read our Bibles, we're supposed to mark up our Bibles, and most of you, I bet, have gotten Bibles at one time or another at different stages, right? Many of you have Bibles at home? Have your parents read it to you? Because one of the things about being a Lutheran is Luther wanted to make sure that everyone had a Bible and that they could read it. And so, your Bible should not stay looking like it is right now. And if you guys have gotten Bibles, it should be worn out, it should be marked up, it should be underlined, because that tells us that we're in the Word of God. So I wanted to share that with you today. Also, after church, since none of you will probably come trick-or-treating to my hotel room, I have some candy to give out to you because for trick-or-treating, but I'm not going to give it out during church because I was not born yesterday, and as a parent, giving out candy during church is not a good idea. As a pastor, it's a worse idea. So after church, I'm going to give you all candy because you're not trick-or-treating, but I won't always be giving out candy, okay? Just so you know that every week, I will not be the pastor who gives out candy, but today I will. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the Bible that you give to us, and help us to read it and help the sixth graders who received there and everyone else who's received their Bible to use it so that they might not fall apart, because your word keeps them together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up. Listen to your truth. The story says that it started with a door. Luther was concerned about a lot of issues in the church. He wanted people to have better access to the scripture. He wanted them to know that they were free. He wanted people to know that they could connect directly to God, that the door wasn't locked when they talked to God. And so, to get his ideas out, on October 31st, 1517, he went to the church in Wittenberg, and he nailed 95 arguments that he wanted to debate on the door. His objective was not to start a new church. His objective was to reform the church, to change it, to open its doors, to everyone, to recognize that we all have gifts and they need to be shared, to recognize that we should all be reading and engaged in the Word of God. He wanted to open the doors of the church and of our hearts to a God of love, to a God of grace, to a God who seeks to be in relationship with us. And it started with a door. The night that the church council voted to submit my name to you as your new pastor, as I left the church, I walked out and I saw this door sitting outside the church. And I said, "Can I have that door?" And the church council, I think, were ready to run back down and say, "Can we vote again?" But I said, "I want that door. I don't know what I want it for yet, but I want that door." And so they said, "Okay." And I said, "Welcome to the world of Pastor Paula. You never know quite what you're going to get." But I think this is a perfect image for Emmanuel this past year, and for Emmanuel as we begin our journey together. Because this door signifies that you, as a congregation, made a decision to open your doors to everyone. Your accessibility project took this door away and opened doors so that everyone could get in, so that no one was excluded. You wanted to be a church of open doors, hearkening back to that Reformation. And in calling me, with my passion and my mission for community engagement, that's also a desire to open the doors. What I heard from the call committee, what I heard from the council was, we have this church that's accessible. We need to use it. We need to use it to welcome people, to welcome the community, to become engaged. And that's what you're doing. You're opening your doors to the neighborhood. Already this week, God is opening up opportunities for the congregation to engage with more people using the basketball area. Kids from the neighborhood coming in addition to the Friday night program and the Sprout program, to find folks who are looking for a place to be. We're exploring ways to be an open door church, because that's what God calls us to be. See, the door to the church is also a door that's open in our hearts, because God opens to us, excuse me, whoa, 27 years of ministry, that's the first time that's ever happened. I'll be right with you. In all seriousness, first time this has ever happened to me. It's because God wants you to reflect on what I'm saying. God wants to open a door to us in our hearts. God wants us to walk through as new people. One of the things that Luther set up was the idea of saints and sinners. And when we are in relationship with God, when we come into the church, we don't come in as perfect people. We come in as fallen people. We come in as people who are broken. And Luther said we can go directly through that door to God to confess who we are. And God will take all of us, all of our brokenness, all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our sorrow, and set us free. That's what the Reformation's about, setting us free. Luther, when he nailed those 95 theses on the door, he wanted to set the people free from a sense that they were being condemned by God, that God didn't want to be in relationship with them. You, when you open the doors to the church with your accessibility project and your commitment to being in the community, you also wanted to open the doors and say, we're free. We want everyone. And God wants each and every one of us to walk through the doors that have been slammed in our lives. The doors that have been shut, the opportunities that have been cut away because of some other reason, to come here and realize that here there are no closed doors. Here we're a community. Here we're a place where God is with us in our brokenness. And it doesn't matter what your history is, it doesn't matter anything about that. What matters is that God has set you free and opened doors for us. The church continues to reform. The church continues to move forward by opening doors. This door, you can't move anymore because it's a door from the past. But the door to the present, and the door to the future, is open wide before us. And God has set us free to walk through it wherever the journey leads. And if the Lord has set you free, you are free to walk where God leads. Amen.